Today's politics have you feeling extra dirty?
Does watching the GOP debates have you feeling down in the dumps?
Well, have no fear, Sanatorum is here.
Hallelujah. Wipe away the memories of last night with our aloe-laden waterless hand cleanser.
Your skin will be born anew after pampering those paws with our purifying essential oils.
Now in a special non-frothy formula. Discreet.
BubbleGenius.com!
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Now the time has come to act, and act fast. I'm leaving.
Hey, you get back here, you pass. Can't stay to winter. And no way that nobody is gonna leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and dadgummit, I'm gonna die here. And no sidewinding, bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker is gonna roll my biscuit cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world. This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Pleasure is just a click away with radio as your guest. There's no quicker way, so click away. Radio does the rest.
Last week, Japanese scientists placed explosive detonators at the bottom of Lake Loch Ness to blow Nessie out of the water. Sikor Godfrey of the Nessie Alliance summoned the help of Scotland's local wizards to cast a protective spell over the lake and its local residents and all those who seek for the peaceful existence of our underwater ally.
Bullcrap, Napoleon.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
It is August 23rd, 2012, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. Brought to you, as always, by Bubble Genius, as we heard at the top of the show. BubbleGenius.com, pure products, pure genius, and all of that.
It's a shame you edited out the line about not only is it authentic frontier gibberish. I use that line all the time.
Well, you know, there's only so much time in the show,
right?
But I would, you know, that whole scene is just fantastic.
It's brilliant.
Gabby Johnson, Crocker Crooker. I got a lot to talk about this week. Let's see, where are we at? Well, there's a convention next week with the Republicans all getting together. And we're talking about
it's not rained out.
Yeah, this would be fun. That'd be
God
fun. From what I recall, something similar happened last year. I think.
Yeah. Well, no, it happened in 2008.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last year, I mean, the last time there was a convention,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. This again, you know, considering the prism through which the religious right and by extension the Republicans. See things, I'm really shocked that no one is willing to believe that this might be retribution.
Yeah.
Divine retribution for being a bunch of pricks.
Well, speaking of retribution and vengeance, we got some eliminationists in the news this week, and we're going to talk about that, too. I got a great, fantastic piece of audio that's a couple of years old, but it just started to make its rounds yesterday. And I'm going to play that. It's actually the president of Ireland totally taking down a Tea Party, like a Tea Party wingnut guy.
I saw that. I didn't hear it. I saw that it's being circulated quite a bit now. It's like 2 years old.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And it's just as timely as ever, especially with a Republican convention coming around just around the corner. And it's just, you know, I think it's like 4 minutes long. And I think we're going to actually play all 4 minutes. It's just that good. I mean, we rarely ever do something like that, but this guy just goes and goes and goes, and he doesn't stop, and everything he says is just dead effing on.
So he gives a Sorkin soliloquy then.
Yes, exactly. But it's with that great Irish accent, you know, that Irish accent that makes everything sound poetic. Like it's
everybody
the lyrics
sounds like Richard Harris.
That's right. You know, I want to talk about this. Now, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but we were, you know, the big story of the week has been Todd Akin, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say it's been huge.
I'm getting the impression you know where I'm going and you don't want to go there.
You know what? I don't care. Whatever, man. Boy, this is one of those things where I really do feel like I said my piece. I think I made my point perfectly clear. And if, as I said in my quick follow-up post today, if you either didn't get the point or you disagree with me, then there's nothing I can do to either elucidate or convince you. So, you know, but I'm more than willing to talk about it.
Well, I mean, we're gonna talk about Todd Akin, of course. But, I wanted to kind of put a lid on the thing that was going on both on Facebook and on our blogs and on the Daily Banter. Where, we obviously disagreed about the piece that you wrote where you talked about Michael Moore, Oliver Stone, and their New York Times op-ed about Julian Assange.
Yes.
And what you did is you kind of compared Michael Moore's remarks regarding Assange's rape accusations. You kind of compared that to Todd Akin.
I did. I compared because what they said, their parsing of rape for their political benefit was essentially the same thing.
Well,
I am not saying, and I never said, that there are as many rape, quote-unquote, apologists or what have you, rape parsers on the left as there are on the right, nor did I say that the idea of parsing rape is as endemic on the left as it is on the right, because it isn't endemic on the left. It's not.
Yeah.
There are outliers who say things like that. But again, I didn't feel like I needed to put up a disclaimer on that.
But oftentimes, and this is, I think, speaks to my central argument, which is oftentimes when you make a comparison like that, it sounds like, whether you intend it or not, it sounds like you're saying, you know, Michael Moore is the same as Todd Akin, the left is the same as
right,
the right, they're crazies
here's,
on
but
both
here's
sides.
The thing. See, Bob, that's the point where you get to, as someone who knows me, gets to consider the source. You know full well that I've spent a very, very good amount of time demanding the smart accountability that you know you talk about, saying that it's not wise to obsessively pummel your own side. Mm-hmm. It just isn't. I mean, you know where I'm coming from. And I don't know. I mean, I have an issue. I feel like either you purposely ignored the fact that you know me, you know my history, you know that I tend to support, especially these days, considering how crazy the right is, center-left causes. In other words, you do know the point that I was making. But since I hit upon, you know, your pet peeve, you decided to score a scalp. I don't know. Come after me. Whatever. And I do believe, by the way, that you were much more direct in your attack on me, and I will call it that, than I was when I sort of debated you on it.
Well, that's,
you know,
I mean,
I wrote a piece for Banter that I thought was very indirect. I attempted to sort of diffuse, diffuse, I mean, D-I-F-F-U-S-E, sort of diffuse my aim a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's also what I want to talk about. You know, whenever I take on an argument,
I'm
in all seriousness.
I was surprised by that. I was very surprised by, you know, I was a little surprised. This is going to make me sound like, you know, like I'm 80. I was a little surprised by your tone. I was, honestly. And it did piss me off a little bit. Because, you know, once again, I kind of felt like you either knew that or you really do think, you know me and kind of ignored it, or you truly do think that someone shouldn't ever make any comparison at all between the left and the right because it's always an unfair comparison and you kind of shouldn't take sides against the family anyway under any circumstances. And that was sort of what I got from it. And it did piss me off a little.
But, I mean, I've done this before and I should – and that's probably not going to assuage your anger at all of it, but – you know, I did it with Trayvon Martin when we disagreed about Trayvon Martin
right.
and the coverage
Trayvon
of Trayvon Martin.
I thought you were much more, I don't know, there was something, I agree with you. I mean, I know you and I had that debate over Trayvon Martin and it did feel a little bit like that. But there was something this time around that I just thought was, you know, and I actually have, you know, I mean, you've got defenders on your side. You know, I read the comments on your blog and, you know, and I have people who wrote to me and said, wow, you know, he was really kind of a dick. You know, he was just the tone, the sort of way that you decided to go after me. And I have really freaking thick skin, by the way. But again, you know, I think when it comes from a friend, there's something about it that just kind of – I'm not saying I took it personally, but it did kind of upset me. Yeah. I just thought it was kind of uncalled for.
Well, I apologize for that. I mean, certainly my intention was not to to offend you or upset you in any way like that. I mean, but that said, you know, whenever I approach a debate, whether it's with someone who's like-minded or someone who's on the complete polar opposite end of the political spectrum – I tend to not leave my flanks in the air, and I tend to get as thorough as I can within the bounds of a reasonably lengthed piece. And so, you know, I felt like we're probably only going to go around this once with regards to the specifics of the debate. I'm going to put everything out there and make sure that my argument is pretty clear. Now, I thought, you know, maybe I could be a little more vague. Maybe I could be more indirect about it. But it seemed to me as if that would undermine what I was trying to say about the broader issue of false equivalence. And it is a problem. I mean, it is a problem. It's a problem.
Of course it's a problem, and I recognize that. I talk about it all the time.
Yeah. But I mean,
I never declared a one-to-one correlation between what, you know, I think that what Moore said and what Todd Akin said are kind of the same thing. That's true.
Yeah.
But I never, as I said before, I never made the claim that the situation is as bad on the left as it is on the right. See, both sides suck. I never said anything at all like that.
Well, in retrospect, I should have given you more benefit of the doubt. And that's, you know, that's something that I'll concede. At the same time, you know, it was, you know, when I read your lead for the initial blog post that you wrote up, it sounded like you were seeking out someone to say, this guy is on the left and he's saying the same or a similar thing as Akin said.
Of course I wasn't. I brought it up because it's what people it's what news people call a peg. Everyone is bitching at Todd Akin, rightly. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Moore comes along and happens to pen during the same period, happens to pen a piece in support of Julian Assange. And he just happens to be a guy who said almost the same thing Todd Akin said 2 years ago. And that means that it's completely legitimate to conflate the two. Not to say that they are that the two men are exactly alike, that they hold the same position of stature, that they speak for the party, that they can affect public policy, just that they said essentially the same thing.
And I really did. In my defense, I tried to set up the whole thing as to say, you know what? This is what I do, and it's not just what I do as a career. It's a sort of part of who I am.
So your disclaimer was, I'm a dick.
No, my disclaimer was, we're dealing in the world of debate, in the world of politics, and so therefore sometimes I just can't keep my mouth shut.
And I get that, and I've done the same thing in the past. It's just, you know how I feel, and this is not a thin skin thing. Just, you know how I feel when it comes to political pugilism. Mm-hmm. And you know, I get it. A lot is fair game. But I feel like if you can't even give a person who you know very well the benefit of the doubt in your discourse, we're screwed.
Well, but at the same time, too, I'm not accusing you of some sort of high crime here. You know, what I'm doing is I'm just engaging in a discussion, in a debate, you know, with someone who, you know, is a good debater, someone who's smart and someone who, you know, has a lot of views on a lot of different things. And it's just a matter of doing what we always do, what we've done on this show many, many times, what we've done online or on Facebook many times. And it's just extending that out. Certainly I think I could have been a little more delicate in my tone. But as far as making the point that I wanted to make, I don't take back any of the actual.
But again, I think that your broader point is fine, that false equivalence exists. I think your premise for writing it, your peg, there's that word again, was faulty, because I don't think that that's what I was doing at all. And, you know, I mean, again, I think I told you this on Facebook. Yeah. So I happened to say something that did compare two things that Moore and Akin said. And I just came right out and put it that way, thinking that, you know what, most people know me. They're the people who read me. They're going to know full well where I'm coming from, what my point is. I shouldn't have to offer another word I keep using. I shouldn't have to offer any kind of disclaimer on my piece in order to salve anybody's naturally enlarged liberal offense gland.
I think also in you wrote a follow-up column in the Daily Banter.
I did, yes. And where I tried to, where I, once again, I mean, I did it, you know, I did that only because two reasons, one of which you know very well, which is at this point, when it comes to writing almost every single day for Banter, when a topic lands in my lap that I can turn into a piece really quick, I got to jump at it. You know, to be very honest, I didn't even really feel like continuing that conversation. I kind of feel like I made my point on Facebook. I think I made my point in the piece. Of course, you know, again, people I hope know me, know where the hell I'm coming from. But, you know, I had the ability to turn that into a full-length piece because, quite frankly, I just needed to. You know, I'm, again, back against the wall when it comes to trying to come up with topics to write about every single day. And that was a pretty good one. I figured, you know what, it will give me a chance to sort of explain myself a little bit, that I do think that, of course, there right now at this moment, there is no comparison when it comes to crazy, when it comes to extremists, when it comes to just the general horribleness between the left and right. There isn't. And you know, and I think I said this to somebody else on Facebook recently, within the past 24 hours. I said, the Republicans didn't go crazy after I lost my faith in them. You know, I watched them over years. You know, I didn't always agree with their policies, but at least I respected them. But over the past few years, several years to a few years, they've gone completely off the rails to the point now where I can't get behind them at all for anything because they're freaking nuts completely.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to say is, you know, that I would hope that people understand when they read me I try to be as fair as I possibly can because I think it's important. I do think that if you have from an intellectual honesty standpoint, I think that if you have someone in your ranks, even if it's just one person, who is saying something that somebody else on the other side, you're accusing them of a lot of, you know, awful crap for, and they deserve it, you know, you got to clean your own house. You've got to be able to point at that person and say, look, you know what? It wasn't cool when this guy said it. It's not really cool when you say it either. And by the way, I say this, you know, as soon as I started writing it, I'm like, well, what about, you know, Greenwald? I give him a lot of crap. And the difference is obsession. You know, Greenwald just does it over and over. I wouldn't have any issue at all if Greenwald once in a while said, you know what, Obama's doing this and Bush did it too, and I've got to be intellectually honest and beat up Obama for it. Fair enough. My issue with Greenwald is that he is obsessive over the things that he doesn't like about the Obama administration. He just keeps beating up on it. So he's essentially picking on – since he labels himself a progressive, he's essentially picking on his own side.
Well, yeah.
And I didn't want to do that, you know. But I do think that it's fair to point out when someone on the left does something awful that someone on the – that we're, you know, someone on the right is getting a justifiable amount of crap for doing.
Let's we're late for a break. Let's take a break, and I just have a couple of final things to say on this, and then we got to move on. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. Lots of stuff to continue talking about with regards to Todd Akin and the Republican convention. We'll get to all of that in just a couple of seconds. I just wanted to wrap this up. And I mean, we've got, you know, sort of a 10-minute segment here. I hope not to spend the entire 10-minute segment on this. When you wrote that column, I kind of thought you were ready to get into a back and forth.
Oh, and no.
And so that's, I mean, that's what I kind of figured on. And so I said, well, okay, you're going to write a column. I'll write a column in response. We'll hash it out. We'll get some views on that, and then we'll move on. Maybe we'll talk about it on the show.
I felt that my piece was, again, just a little bit more indirect. But again, you know, if that's who you are, then, you know, you're my friend, and I'm not going to sweat it too much.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's ultimately what it came down to. I mean, and for me, and then when I engage in something like that, and I did this with Trayvon Martin, I've done it on the show. I try to cover the entire territory. Like, again, I don't like to leave too many openings, because if this is going to be the last salvo in this back and forth, I want to make sure I hit all my points, because I don't want to have to come back and write another column, especially when I don't have any more columns to write this week.
Yeah. I've still got one left.
I'm done for the week. Well, tomorrow's mailbag, but right. So this is going to be it. So I want to make sure I hit all the points. And you know, I wasn't ad hominem towards you.
No. I don't think that. I don't. You know, and look, if it sounds like I'm taking it personally, then, you know, I apologize for that.
But, I mean, we also come from a background where, you know, we kind of were raised on shows like ONA, the Howard Stern Show, Don and Mike, all these shows where there is a lot of interpersonal drama and battles and things that happen between the hosts of the show. And in a way, we sort of have always engaged in that kind of thing when we disagree on the show, and then also and primarily online. And that's happened over several topics. I mean, the one that always comes to mind is Trayvon Martin. And then I know there have been several instances where we have kind of spent the lion's share of an entire podcast disagreeing or debating on something or another.
Anything having to do with food.
That's exactly right. Food. Food topics.
Anything having to do with food.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this, I didn't think it was outside the realms of precedent. So, but clearly,
I also had a really crappy morning. So waking up and reading that, I'm like, bastard. I need that today.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I know.
And that's fine.
I know
and
the
that's
feeling.
Me being a moody bastard.
I know the feeling because, I mean, if you had written a response and then you had taken off the gloves and turned this into round three, then I would have been like, hell, what can I do now? I'm kind of stuck. I have to, you know, make a blog post on
the last word. God damn, you just argue. You just I know I've but done the same thing plenty of times.
And like it or not, maybe this makes me a dick, I don't know. But this is kind of what we do. I mean, we're kind of in the business of arguing with people. And I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, I think it's always left on a friendly note. I mean, a lot of times you're right and I'm wrong, and sometimes I'm right and you're wrong.
And I will say, by the way, that one thing that I think is probably, as much as I think Michael Moore is a pompous ass, and I really do, I think that Michael Moore, far more than Todd Akin, probably has the ability, if he hasn't publicly said it, at least to feel it, to sort of go, you know what? No, I shouldn't have said that. That was a wrong thing to say. And that was, you know, he has the ability to feel shame over something like that. Whereas I genuinely think since Todd Akin is expressing the official opinion of the Republican Party, he thinks nothing of it. He's already proven himself. You know, he's proven that he thinks nothing of saying something like that. He pretended to apologize, but it's BS, and we all know it.
Yeah, and you know what Drudge was running today? He's got a big graphic link.
I can only imagine.
To a piece in the Weekly Standard about how, you know, Al Franken is campaigning for the Obama-Biden campaign. He's stumping with Joe Biden, and there's a picture of Joe Biden and Al Franken on the same stage. I think it was from either earlier today or yesterday. And the whole context of the piece, predictably in the Weekly Standard, is Senator famous for joking about rape campaigns for Obama-Biden.
Right.
Because New York Magazine in 1995 went behind the scenes in a writing session for SNL. And Franklin said something to the effect of, you know, giving roofies to Leslie Stahl. And right. So this behind the scenes, you know, not on the record remark.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have said that as Senator Franken, but you know, as an SNL writer, absolutely.
As an SNL writer, and they're spitballing ideas. I mean, I don't want to get into rape jokes and whether or not they're funny, because frankly, I didn't think this was funny either, what he says here. But I mean, it's an opportunity to try to say, well, Akin can't be so bad if you liberals are doing it too, and the Obama Biden campaign is campaigning with these guys.
Yeah. Again, I give, and that proves my point. You know, I give a huge pass to comics. Comics to me can get away with quite a bit because their job is to make you laugh, and their job is often to laugh at just horrific subjects.
So I think the biggest objection to Todd Akin is really not exactly what he said, because what he said was really stupid.
I wrote that piece for Banter where I said the thing that struck me the most was not his comment about legitimate rape.
Oh yeah,
that for some reason that slid right off my back because I'm used to that from the right.
Right, right.
I truly am. What really shocked the crap out of me was his completely insane statement that women's bodies can, you know, stop the sperm of rapists. Completely bullshit science.
Yeah.
You know, non-science.
Yeah. Well, what's remarkable to me is that despite the far right's complete ignorance regarding science, they're condemning this guy left and right. I mean, Ann Coulter, Sarah Palin, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, even Limbaugh. Gee, that really shocked me.
They're all saying this guy's an embarrassment and should step aside. I mean, and I'm putting it mildly. Right. You know, Sarah Palin said he should step aside and take one for the team. You know, Ann Coulter was again on Huffington Post today saying more. Well, there was an article about something that she had said probably on Fox News But I mean, they've been ruthless against this guy. And yet, and I assume it's because he botched the science. From their point of view, he said something stupid about biology, about female biology.
Yeah, he said something. He said something that is, you know, it's surprising to think that there's something that, that the Republicans would recoil from in the sense that it's demonstrably false. But yeah, he said something so completely over the top and insane that they have no choice. They're left with no choice but to condemn him.
That's right. And that's just remarkable to
me. If he had just made the legitimate rape comment without that nonsense, oh, he'd be fine.
Yeah. And none of them are condemning him because of that, because of the policy position, because of the fact that, you know, up until last February, when they finally, you know, struck down the language, that Paul Ryan and, you know, 60 other House Republicans, including Todd Akin, were trying to codify the notion of forcible rape, which is really what Todd Akin was trying to say. He blurted out legitimate instead of forcible, but he meant forcible. And then I like his backpedal on that. He said, oh, there's no such thing as legitimate rape. All rapes are... What did he say? No, he said there's no such thing as legitimate rape. And that was supposed to be part of his apology. Which, of course, all rape is legitimate.
Right.
Not that no rapes are legitimate. I mean, it's really kind of this twisted semantic road. And then all of it, though, distracts from the idea that this guy represents the Republican Party platform on abortion.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That is the problem. That opinion is not completely out, you know, out in right field, so to speak.
Yeah. So, they're about to ratify this. I think they ratify the platform on Monday. I don't know if that's probably not going to be televised on traditional cable news, probably on C-SPAN or something like that.
That's because it's coming from an age where there actually was no TV.
That's right.
From like, as I said, like 1812.
Yeah. And
it'll be printed on parchment and circulated by a town crier.
We got to take a quick break for Bubble Genius back after this. The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show is brought to you each and every week exclusively by BubbleGenius.com. You say, what the hell is... Why do you say Bubble Genius right before you say Bob and Chez Show? Well, it's because they're the sponsors and we're kind of old-timey that way. And by the way, they're also vegan. And they're liberal. And they're independent. And they're run by women. So all of these things combined should... You know,
all of these are completely redundant.
At least
vegan liberal part.
Yeah. I mean, basically, get your ass to Bubble Genius and buy some good bath and body.
I want one conservative vegan.
I don't think they exist.
That's my goal. It's going to be my New Year's resolution for 2013.
Yeah. Here's the latest word from Bubble Genius.
Today's politics have you feeling extra dirty?
Does watching the GOP debates have you feeling down in the dumps?
Well, have no fear. Sanatorium is here.
Wipe away the memories of last night with our aloe-laden waterless hand cleanser.
Your skin will be born anew after pampering those paws with our purifying essential oils.
Now in a special non-frothy formula. Discreet.
BubbleGenius.com!
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And make sure to enter your promo code, which is Bob and Chez, BobandChez, and get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com. Go there now. Go there now while you're listening to the show. It's the best way to shop at Bubble Genius while you're listening to this program. So we got more about the convention coming up here. There are a couple of interesting speakers at the convention.
Joe Arpaio.
We just announced, yeah, Joe Arpaio.
That nut job.
Sheriff Joe, the Arizona birther, is actually going to be speaking at the convention.
Tells you everything you need to know.
That's it. I mean, he's a sheriff.
Yeah.
He's just a sheriff.
And he's a complete whack job, completely. Did you read the Rolling Stone article on him? The recent one?
I didn't.
It's excellent. It's very good.
Yeah.
The portrait that it kind of paints of him is not that he's racist so much as he just knows which side his bread is buttered on. You know, that he's essentially exploiting the crazy old white people of Sun City and Phoenix and so on to, you know, to stay in power.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot, what a lot of the Republicans are doing now. I mean, that's what Mitt Romney's doing. These guys are so actively pandering to the the Tea Party, the racist,
right. But,
older
but again,
white
again,
people.
We've said this before. They're pandering to a demographic that is going to die. I mean, the demographic that is literally and figuratively becoming extinct.
Yes. And meanwhile, they're going to try to legislate things that dying demographic wants. So we're going to be stuck with all this crap on a stick that some old resentful white crazy person in Arizona keeps pushing for.
Yeah.
And but not only that, not only is Joe Arpaio speaking, but also Donald Trump is going to be speaking at the convention.
That's good to know.
Yeah, Donald Trump.
Excellent.
Hey, Meatloaf, should Donald Trump speak at the convention?
Absolutely.
Love it.
So, that kind of will give you an idea, and that's just the tip of the crazy iceberg. I mean, that all next week, we're not even going to remember the name Todd Akin by this time next week. By this time next week, we will have been fed so much beyond the pale right-wing red meat every night that what the Medicare ads, the welfare ads, John Sununu, Todd Akin, a lot of the crap we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks will be completely obliterated from the agenda. We don't remember those names. We won't know what those people did, what they said, because it'll all just be wiped out by what happens next week.
Right.
It'd be Joe Arpaio, for God's sake. I mean, here's some of my predictions for the convention. Let's see if we have enough time here.
Do you have your Karnak?
Yeah, I've got my big Karnak turban.
And your envelope?
Simsalabim. Obamacare will be the new 9/11. That'll be the one. There'll be remixes next week appearing, like mega mixes,
right,
of Republicans saying,
auto-tuned.
Oh yeah, of Republicans repeatedly saying Obamacare over and over again. Because remember in 2008, it was in 2004 especially, it was 9/11, September the 11th, and there was a mega mix about that.
Yep, we can never forget the lessons of September 11th.
I predict that at least one speaker at the convention will read a teleprompter joke off of a teleprompter.
Probably.
That will actually happen next week. Chris Christie will dish out his own weight in red meat. And when I say red meat, it's like, that's the stuff like Rudy Giuliani's really good at.
Yeah.
Like, community organizer? What's that? What do they do? You know, that kind of crap. Like, all the stuff that makes, you know, the base of the Republican Party go
get
nuts.
Get hard.
Yeah. Gets them hard.
Yes. Which, you know, after their Viagra.
That's right. So what else? What else do we got? At least 2 days will be canceled due to Hurricane Isaac.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I can't remember who the guy was on Twitter, and I feel bad for not being able to credit him, who said the Republicans can't even attract a female hurricane.
I love it. By the way, there will be racial dog whistles everywhere. We'll hear about food stamps and we'll hear about welfare. There'll probably be some old lady with like stamps like glued to her forehead or something. Remember that? Remember in 2004 I still cannot believe they did this and got away with it. Remember in 2004 on the floor of the convention, there were all sorts of delegates wandering around wearing purple Band-Aids on their heads and like on their hats and things like that, the purple Band-Aids. You know why? Because of John Kerry's Purple Heart.
Right.
They all
right.
put purple
yeah, I do,
Band-Aids
I do remember
on.
That now, actually, yeah.
I mean, that was just that. This was the support the troops, defend the military party. These are the people who've tried to brand that as being uniquely Republican, as if no one else can do that. And so as soon as the Democrats put up you know, military veteran, someone who actually fought, saw combat in Vietnam, and was decorated for it. John Kerry's wounds were suddenly the war wounds were the source of Republican ridicule. This is how
it's an amazing thing, really.
Yeah, this is how classy they were. Purple Band-Aids, and I swear to God, they will be. There'll be some sort of food stamp prop on the floor of that convention, and it's all just flagrant dog whistling. One last quick break. We'll be back right after this. Yes, and we're back. You know, I just I decided to take a break from Buzz talking into these songs. Let the song speak for itself a little bit. He'll be back next week. I'll
it's a good Weezer track.
Play the Buzz liners over the music next week, huh?
Sure.
I thought this was hilarious. I don't know if you heard about this regarding the convention. They're going to craft the theme of the convention around the president's "You Didn't Build That" statement.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the number of people who still don't, you know, who still utilize that as some sort of a, you know, some sort of a weapon.
Yeah.
A line taken completely out of context.
Not only was it taken out of context, but it was selectively edited. So
right.
That, I mean, they took out a gigantic chunk of what the president actually said, which was, you know, if you start a small business, you didn't necessarily build the roads and the infrastructure that gets people to your business. Somebody else built that.
Right. But that's what they have to do. I mean, they're in a position right now where they have no choice but to, you know, a bunch of people have said it. If you have to lie, if you have to selectively edit, that means your message mm-hmm. sucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, the central theme.
And if that's what you use as a cudgel, you're crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not surprising that the central theme of the Republican National Convention is a lie. I mean, the actual slogan is "We built this," which when I first saw that, I actually kind of thought it was a reference to that awful Jefferson Starship song.
Dear God. Yeah, I swear, if they I would love nothing more than for them to use that as like their big campaign song. Right. One of the worst songs in the history of pop music.
That's right. That's
something
right.
that is so white, so completely bland and boring and awful.
Right.
There's nothing more Republican than "We built this city."
Yeah. I mean, I really thought that's what it was a reference to. And I'm wondering if they're... Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yep.
I rushed and brought it up on YouTube.
Hey, stop. Make it stop.
But you know what? The funny thing
you
is...
You can see the white people shaking their heads back and forth. The delegates. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, all the old delegates are dancing
yep.
with their...
Dancing with their stupid hats on, with their tea bags and crap.
Waving their pear-shaped yep. bodies to the
yep.
song. And,
yeah.
God.
Completely unaware that Grace Slick was, you know, and basically Starship used to be at one point the ultimate 60s band.
Yeah.
The ultimate counterculture, hippie band.
The ultimate irony in all of this is that the arena where they're holding this, the Tampa Bay Times Forum Arena.
Yeah.
Is originally called the Ice Palace.
Yeah, it was the Ice Palace.
The arena was built in 1996 at a cost of $139 million. 62% of which was publicly financed.
Of course.
So, in other words, 62% of the Tampa Bay Times Forum, where the Republican convention will be held next week, is basically socialist, a product of socialism.
And yeah, I mean, somebody, I can't remember who it was who said, maybe it was just being circulated on the internet, said that, or I might have seen it on Facebook, said that if Obama came out in support of oxygen, the Republicans would suffocate.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's this clip of the Irish president. His name is Michael D. Higgins. And a couple of years ago...
Of course it is.
He was being interviewed...
Mally O'Malley or Paddy O'Paddy or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love how all Irish names sound like the dad was just sober enough to say the same word twice when the kid was born.
And I mean, this guy, I mean, he looks like a hobbit. It's so funny. But he's whip smart. And he was being interviewed by this Tea Party talk show host named Michael Graham. And just ended up taking this guy apart. And it's really something to behold. And I'm going to play all 4 minutes of it because it's just that damn good. Here now is President of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins.
I spoke about my time in the Midwest and going to the Greyhound bus station and hearing for the first time the phrase poor white trash. These people who, you know, I was there just before the Civil Rights Charter came in, and frankly, the idea that a person would not have one job, but have two jobs or three jobs and work all the light hours that are there and still not be entitled to the basic protection of fundamental care is so outrageous. So whether you agree with Obama and what he is doing in aspects of his foreign policy, and I might disagree with some things about Latin South America, but one of the things I do agree, the idea of there being a social floor below which people wouldn't fall, that's the future. I think even the poorest people in the great country that is the United States should be entitled to basic health care. Okay. And I don't think they'll thank the Sarah Palin lookalikes and followers for taking it off them. You're about as late a rival in Irish politics as Sarah Palin is in American politics. And both of you have the same tactic. The tactic is to get a large crowd, whip them up, try and discover what is the greatest fear, work on that, and feed it right back, and you get a frenzy. And that leads you in time then to when you have, in fact, maybe one of the most gifted presidents-elect. I happen not to agree with all his foreign policy, but you know, you regard, for example, someone who happens to have been a professor at Harvard as somehow or another handicapped. You don't find anything wrong at all with this Tea Party ignorance that has been brought all around the United States, well, which is regularly insulting people who have been democratically elected.
Deputy Higgins, I'm not going to insult you.
Oh, I think you should.
By bringing up your lack of knowledge of the Tea Party movement.
I lived in the United States, and do you know one of the interesting things, Mike? Do you know the big difference as I listened? Mm-hmm. I lived in the Midwest, in Willie Nelson country. I was a student there at the end of the 60s. I was a professor in Illinois at the end of the 70s. Mm-hmm. The magnificent, decent, generous people of the United States with whom I had supper. People I sat around there and ate homemade ice cream with them. The difference between them and the tiny elite who are in charge of warmongering foreign policy of the United States is just enormous. So therefore, when you go on your picnic around the country, you're really not representing the decent United States people who are very proud, correctly, of the person they've elected president, which they're entitled to do. But you have the neck to say that people like me who are willing...
I love that. You have the neck to say.
Right.
To talk to people who are on each side trying to build peace are somehow or another in favor of people who want to murder Jewish people. Right. That is an outrageous statement. I am not anti-Semitic. I'm not in favor of murder. And unlike you, I make my profession in politics. And I worked in human rights. And I condemned Hamas for setting rockets. None of that will matter to you. Because you know what you are? I mean, I wish you well. Keep drinking Guinness and keep ranting away. But don't suggest that those of us who are working for peace in the heat of the day are somehow interested in murdering Jews. Okay. There's a man in the United, you know him. I think you may have interviewed him. Mark B. Klein. He represents 14 Jewish organizations in New York. He organized 45 members of the House of Representatives to sign a letter condemning Barack Obama for giving Mary Robinson the Medal of Honor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was debating with him on a program rather like this. And I said to him, how can you conclude that Mary Robinson is anti-Semitic? And he said, I said, Bishop Tutu, for example. Bishop Tutu is anti-Semitic as well. You're going down that road. Mm-hmm. And really, it is very dangerous stuff. The fact of the matter is, look, young people from the United States are traveling all over the world again. They're welcome in Europe. They're backpackers in hostels. People are talking to them because the image of the United States we've got away from this warmongering is getting better. At least 47 million people that the likes of you condemned to no health care in a country that I was proud to work in. These people are going to have some health care. Okay. So this is the issue. Therefore, be proud to be a decent American rather than being just a wanker whipping up fear.
Yeah, that was great. The President of Ireland, Michael Higgins.
Excellent. Yeah, really, I think Sorkin wrote that for him.
Yeah, I think he did. But I mean, I always wonder about this, especially during the Bush years, but then also during all of this, the Tea Party crap, and then all of the lying that's happening and coming out of the Romney campaign, I got to wonder what people in Europe and elsewhere think of us.
We're nuts. They like Obama, but they think we're crazy.
Yes, they do. They do.
They think we're completely backward. They think we're religious fundamentalists. They think we're hypocrites. They think that we're dumb. I mean, look, you know, it's – I get it. I know Europe, you know. I completely understand. I know the sort of the pomposity, that kind of reputation that they have. But I do remember really well. I mean, during the Bush years, especially, I took a trip with my ex when we went to France, and it was funny because every single person we ran into said, "Oh, you're from New York," like immediately. And I think it came from the fact that we were just nice and friendly, attempted to speak French. And, you know, and I don't mean to be a snob about New York. I genuinely don't. I'm just saying that's the way they looked at us for the moment. And of course, you know, obviously there's so much beyond just Europe. But, yeah, I mean, I have to imagine that most civilized countries look at us like we're nuts.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be it, because that's the word that's getting out. I mean, that's how – the loudest people in this country tend to behave like we're all nuts. And, yeah. And then Mitt Romney goes over to the Olympics
and completely screws the pooch
and vindicates all of it.
Right. He was the entire trip. He was the ultimate ugly American. He genuinely was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what they do. I mean, we had a president for 8 years who kind of reinforced that notion. Did not make us look good on the national stage. And then they have to double their efforts with, you know, creating more and more of these type characters. Sarah Palin and God knows who else. On down the list.
Right. But if you give a crap what anybody thinks outside of the U.S., then, you know, you're apologizing for America and you're not patriotic and all that crap.
I hope that there are more people like President of Ireland who kind of give Americans a little bit of leeway. In other words, we're not all Tea Partiers trying to deny others of, you know, health care and equal protection and basic civil rights. That that some of us do have a brain in our head, and we're not trying to wall ourselves away and kick all the brown people out. There's those of us who are sane and rational. And I'd like to think more than just a small minority. I'd like to think that there are more sane and rational people in America than necessarily pop up in polling, because polling is really kind of disheartening to read. You know, I just saw this poll, ABC News, Washington Post poll, among senior citizens, support for Paul Ryan, 50% favorable. 35% unfavorable. Mm. This plays into what
he looks like.
About.
He looks like your grandson. Yeah, he looks like a good boy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It doesn't matter what he wants to do. It doesn't matter that he wants to eviscerate Medicare.
Yeah,
it just matters what he looks like. Because we're a superficial country.
That's right. And the same.
Ryan looks like a nice young boy, and Mitt Romney looks like Central Casting president from the movies.
That's right. And the same goes for Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney is well supported by senior citizens.
Right, and one of the problems you're going to run into is senior citizens vote.
That's right.
Always.
Yep. They're the biggest voting bloc. They will go out and they will vote. They will do most of the voting on election day.
Right, because when your choice is, you know, that or playing shuffleboard while shoveling cream of wheat into your mouth, what are you going to do?
And, you know, regarding crazies, I mean, we talked about Sheriff Joe Arpaio showing up at the speaking at the convention. He's not just showing up. He's not going to be just sort of wandering around with the delegates. He's actually going to be speaking. There's another sheriff in Hillsborough running for sheriff in Hillsborough County, New Hampshire. I don't know if you heard about this guy.
I did, yeah.
In an interview on Wednesday with local television station WMUR, Frank Szabo said he believes sheriffs are granted special powers under the Constitution.
I liked him when he's in the Mothers of Invention.
That means he would be empowered to arrest or even use deadly force against doctors for providing legal abortions for women.
Yeah, he should get together with that jackass judge down in Lubbock who's going to stand with the local sheriff to stop the UN troops with the blue beanies from coming up Main Street once Obama's reelected.
Yeah, you saw that one too.
Because oh, absolutely.
I mean, that one.
That's just sheer insanity. Like, you, as Jon Stewart says, up next, leash laws for unicorns. Yeah, it's robot insurance, as you put
yeah,
it.
Yeah. This guy in Lubbock, Texas, Judge Tom Head, said Obama's going to try to hand over the sovereignty of the United States to the UN. And what's going to happen when that happens? I'm thinking the worst. Civil unrest, civil disobedience, civil war, maybe. And we're not just talking a few riots here and demonstrations. We're talking Lexington, Concord, take up arms and get rid of the guy. Now, what's going to happen if we do that? If the public decides to do that? He's going to send in UN troops. I don't want them in Lubbock County, okay? So I'm going to stand in front of their armored personnel carrier and say, you're not coming in here. And the sheriff, I've already asked him, I said, you going to back me? He said, yeah, I'll back you. Well, I don't want a bunch of rookies back there. I want trained, equipped, seasoned veteran officers to back me.
Not only is it authentic frontier gibberish. There you go. It's Gabby Johnson. Exactly.
How can you argue with that?
How can you argue with that? Right. That's exactly what it is. That's, you know, that's Arpaio's cold case posse. That's, you know, that's the ranting macho BS fantasies of, you know, of an old white guy, a senile old white guy.
That's right. That's right. Senile old white guy.
I'm going to stand in front of the tanks, and you got my back.
He clearly thinks the president's running for the first time here, and that the president hasn't been the president for the last 4 years. I mean, I see nothing indicating that the president is, you know, any more in step with the UN than any other president ever.
You're making the mistake of even entertaining this. Using two brain cells to contemplate this.
You're right. These are just crazy. These are crazies who just, they're fire eaters.
It's arguing with a light pole.
Yeah, they're the same kind of people who we saw in 2008 saying that president's going to release all the black people out of all the prisons. You know, it's just like
he's going to come for your guns. It's just, you know, it's nothing but conspiracy theories. It's all it is. Right. Like either you or Ashby said, I'm right out of the mouth of that freaking moron, Alex Jones.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's all. And you know what? Alex Jones isn't even that racist about it, by the way. I think a lot of the conspiracy theories that we see are generated by some sort of weird racial fear, some sort of anxiety that, you know, the president's going to usurp United States government and replace it with Sharia law.
Yeah.
You know. Suddenly Louis Farrakhan is going to be the Secretary of State. Because everything the president has done for the last 4 years really indicates that he's someone who's going to do that, right?
It doesn't matter. They just want him out, and they'll come up with any insane reason to get rid of him.
Yeah. Well, of course, what this also does is it's pure Southern strategy politics. It's going to stir up a lot of white people to go vote. A lot of angry, resentful white people who are going to go try and, you know, vote for this this ridiculous judge in New Hampshire or sheriff. Hey, the after party tomorrow. We'll see you then. Take care.